right, great. I'll call to order the meeting of the Retirement Committee on Tuesday, May 27th, here in Conference Room C2. May I have roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Wygant.
Yes, here.
Director Amezcua.
Present.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Nguyen. Director Green.
Here.
Director Jung.
Present.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Meeks. Director Bilodeau. Jason Dadakis.
Here.
Kevin O'Toole.
Here.
Roy Herndon.
Here.
Bill Lever. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
No.
Okay, perfect. And now is the time for visitor participation. Are there anyone online or in the room that wants to speak? Seeing none. Okay, move to consent calendar item number one, which were the minutes of the meeting held on April 22nd. Is there anyone with a motion?
I don't think I can.
I'll make it.
I'll second it.
Great. No discussion, so I'll call for the roll, please.
Roll call, Director Wygant.
Yes.
Director Amezcua.
Yes.
Jason Dadakis.
Yes.
Kevin O'Toole.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay, great. And now for our matters of consideration. Item number two is the 457B deferred compensation intermediate bond review with options to replace JP Morgan Total Return Fund class share closure. Take it away, Scott.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for taking time, and thank you for putting together a committee meeting on short notice. So it was only a short time ago that JP Morgan notified Fidelity that they were closing down the JP Morgan Total Return, so there no longer be such a fund. So we've got to move the money in that fund into something comparable, maybe even better, to make this decision on a short notice. It does need to go in front of the board next week and then communicate it to Fidelity by June 6th of next year. So JP Morgan's reasoning was that this was not one of their larger funds, less than 200 million in the fund. So they thought from a economic standpoint, best to close it down. They do have other funds, but they did not pass our screening, so we're going through all of the options that are available through Fidelity that pass through the screening process, and we can make a decision today. We do have this decision sheet, which also can kind of serve as a quick reference to go back if you're curious about symbols or expense ratios. Remember, the way our plans work is any plans that or any funds that have revenue sharing goes back to the participant. So you look at the expense ratio, which is how the Zephyrs show the performance is net of that expense ratio. But on some of the funds, there's actual revenue sharing that goes back to the participant. So that net expense ratio can be important. And for example, JP Morgan Total Return R5, which is what we own, the expense ratio is 46 basis points. They did refund 10 basis points of that back. So the net cost was 36 basis points. So the other funds listed here in the decision sheet are all options that we could consider, and hopefully we can agree on one of these choices today. Any questions for me before I dig into the research?
So just if you were looking at this list at a quick glance, you would see Fidelity Total Bond is the cheapest for us.
That's correct. That is correct. Okay, so let's take a quick look, as we normally would be doing, at the performance of the two existing investments. So Anee from my team has listed to let you know that 4.37% of the 457 plans held in the JP Morgan fund, there's 101 participants in the plan holding on to it. There's also a secondary option here. This is a bond index fund. It's from iShares. It's the US Aggregate Bond Index. There's a little bit more money in that one, 5%, but fewer people, 52 employees. Now, we're looking at the three-year chart at the top of page three here. The index fund is on top of the index, which is what you'd expect. You notice that JP Morgan has fallen a little bit below the benchmark of late. This is kind of a compressed scale where it goes from 5% at the top of the chart to 0% at the bottom. But you can see there's maybe about a third or half a percent underperformance over the last 3 years. Most of that has occurred recently. I would imagine as they're starting to wind this fund down, they're selling bonds. So it's not the normal buy and hold approach that most funds would have in this category. So as we look at these charts, 3 and 5 year charts, the 5 year is still in good stead. JP Morgan's actually been the slightly better performer of the two, beating both our index fund and the benchmark. I'm going to switch slides to slide 4 here. This is a 6 month chart at the top, a 12 month chart in the middle. And you can see that recent underperformance starting. So whether JP Morgan was closing this or not, this certainly would have come up on our next screening as a potential issue. But you need is that you see this, you have some real opportunity for improvement with some of the alternatives. So now on page 5, our alternative you can consider, those are all listed in green. Ani has also listed a second time the expense ratios at the top here, and then the secondary chart, the 5 year chart, does have the refund. It might be easier to quick reference back to the decision sheet where you can see that on there. But the tenure of the managers is also listed. So we do have the luxury that all of the possible options have long tenured managers. Some are significant, more than 30 years, but a minimum of at least 14 years. Now, as you look at these options on the 3 year chart, they're all outperforming JP Morgan. They're all outperforming the benchmark. So there's some good choices to consider. If you look at them on the 5 year chart, in which you can see bonds have underperformed cash, that's the 2022 downturn that came from the Fed hiking rates to fight inflation during 2022. But you've got some really nice choices here. Now, again, the funds to the right are the ones that take a little bit more volatility on in the portfolio. The funds to the left are a little bit more conservative. The fund that tends to come up as the least standard deviation and the least conservative in terms of volatility is the Loomis Sayles Investment Grade. That charges 49 and refunds 15. The best performer is typically on most of these charts, the Dodge & Cox Income. This would be the largest of all the choices we're picking from. All of these are significant in size, so I don't think that's going to be much of a tiebreaker for us, but it is over 90 billion in terms of size. Many of these other ones are pretty significant, but Dodge and Cox is by far the biggest. It does also have an attractive expense ratio. We would call that one the lowest sticker price in terms of the prospectus, only 33 basis points, but they don't refund anything. As Director Wigand mentioned, Fidelity does charge more at 45, it refunds 20, which makes them a net cheaper approach. Guggenheim also is a little bit more aggressive in terms of its volatility. They have an expense ratio, it's a little on the higher side as well. 54 refunding 10, that puts them at a net 44. Generally a very good fund and one we use for some accounts, but one that may not measure up to some of its alternatives here. And then PGIM, which is Prudential Global Investment Total Bond, is a solid fund, 39 with no refund, but some of the other funds have actually put up more consistent numbers. If we look at their rankings, JP Morgan is now 3 stars in neutral. This is Morningstar's rankings. iShares bond index that we're keeping is 3 stars in bronze. Dodge and Cox has the highest possible ranking of 5 stars in gold. Fidelity is pretty strong at 4 stars in gold. Guggenheim 4 in silver. Loomis Sayles 5 in silver. PGIM 4 in gold. So if we dig down a little deeper here onto page 6, you're looking at 6 and 12 month numbers. Guggenheim's actually been the best on the 6 and 12 month, but again, typically a little bit more volatility there. Their biggest sin is their expense ratio being a little bit higher, and then back one chart being a little bit higher on their standard deviation. The other chart that's a great tiebreaker is the upside downside capture chart. So Loomis Sayles being an investment grade bond fund, they're not what we call a core plus fund, which means they don't venture outside of investment grade. They don't add a little bit of mortgage paper in there. They don't add any emerging market debt in there as some of the other funds will do selectively. Dodge and Cox and Fidelity specifically will do that where it makes sense, and that's kind of added to their performance over time. So Loomis Sayles seems to play defense the best. Dodge and Cox does have some pretty good numbers, giving you 114% of the upside here and about 88% of the downside. Fidelity is giving you 109% of the upside and about 90% of the downside. So those are pretty attractive. I'm assuming, and you guys can chime in here, that we'd probably narrow it down to those two, but happy to hear any input for other favorites out there. If you look at over the short term, Guggenheim's got the best 1 year number. It's kind of a tie between Fidelity and Dodge & Cox. On the 2 year, Dodge & Cox is winning the 3 year and 4 year battle, and Loomis Sayles is winning the 5 year battle. Loomis Sayles' biggest benefit was they didn't have quite as big a loss in the 2022 down year that was bad for every bond fund. So let me take a pause there and see if there's some debate in terms of which would be our finalists here.
Hey, anyone want to chime in? Scott, could you just confirm which ones you see might be some finals to consider?
I would say Dodge and Cox Income X and the Fidelity Total Bond Fund.
Do you see any issue with, since Fidelity is kind of our go-to on a lot of things, that being any conflict or any issue with that, or is it just simply a different fund and just their managers, their style, the way they've been doing these over the years?
I think that's a really important question, Director. I think it would be as a tiebreaker. I'd prefer to have a non-Fidelity fund in here, would be my preference, especially when you've got a kind of all-world fund like Dodge and Cox. We do have a lot of Fidelity funds in here with Fidelity as our record keeper. So, not that there's specifically anything wrong with that, but I do like having some options where we're reaching out to other places. And this is a place where this fund family has a unique strength, which I think would be interesting to consider. So.
And then this revenue share net expense, Fidelity being 0.25, Dodge and Cox being 0.33, and then Loomis being 0.34. It's less than, 10. It's 8 and 9. Do you see that being that big of a difference when it comes to that?
I mean, I think that's the extent of the difference, or the only strike against Dodge and Cox is they're not the cheapest net net, but I think it's pretty close. And their
It's not.
performance is so consistent, it's tough to beat that. So,
And it's not unreasonable to be at that percentage.
no, oh no, it does benchmark out quite well.
Gotcha. Okay, I
And
see.
If I may
Looks like we
just
have a
chime
hand raised.
in.
I see
Please.
Director Tran's hand first, if you don't mind,
Oh, I'm
Director.
sorry. Let me raise my hand. I apologize.
All
We'll get
right,
Director Tran in.
thank you, Chairman Wagan. How much are we investing? How much is the pool for these particular funds we're talking about?
Anita, do you have the dollar amount handy? It's on the board agenda there.
One point
Oh, I'm
eight.
sorry, I can't even see.
Yes.
I apologize. I'm using
No
my
problem. I forgot. It slipped out of my mind. Do you see it, Eric?
Yeah, 1.8. We have
Okay.
20 million in aggregate.
Yeah,
Okay.
thank you.
With 101 participants, Director Tran.
Okay, very good. Yeah, thank you. For short term, I know Fidelity is relatively conservative in their returns compared based on my usage of this fund
Yeah.
personally. But are you looking at short term investment or long term?
Well, this would be the intermediate term we usually define as 6 to 8 years in terms of maturity. So it's
Okay.
definitely going to have some exposure to the yield curve and interest rate fluctuations. So short term would be typically, say, 1 to 2 years, and this is
Right.
a little further out. So, I do think risk matters.
Right.
And Fidelity does a good job with this. So that's, a very commendable choice too. I just think we've got two good choices to consider. So.
All right, very well. Thank you.
Director Amezcua?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes.
There anything from the Employee Advisory Committee where they have a preference of the two?
Scott, just a quick question on the charts you've been showing us, including the upside downside.
Yeah.
Those are all net of expenses, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But
So
they're
this would
not.
be returned to the participant, other than the fact it's not reflecting the revenue share refund.
Okay. That was my next question. So, okay.
So to your point, Fidelity would actually look a touch better with its refund.
Okay.
Got any other final comments or thoughts here? Just
to
I mean,
mention.
we in our high net worth private client book, Dodge & Cox is our biggest bond holding, so we've got a lot of confidence in them. In our retirement plans, Fidelity is one of our biggest bond holdings, so we like them both. We were glad, and he and I were glad both of these came up on the available list. So.
And is there any thought to giving option for both, or is that's kind of off the table because it's too would dilute it too much and probably wouldn't be offered if we didn't have a significant investment in it?
Yeah, they would both do a good job, I think, but you do have the other option already in place, which is the index fund. So I think if you have an active and an index, you've got a really competitive lineup there.
Got it. Got it. And you're referring to the iShares one?
Yes, sir.
You guys, any comments from the advisor?
I think Valerie did. Valerie's got her name.
Oh, Director Mesko, you back?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to figure out if my hand lowered or higher or I don't know. Here we
You're
go.
good now. You're high.
Okay, I'm high.
Yeah, you're
So,
probation. You're not that high.
no, I'm not high at all, just for the record. It's being recorded. I'm not high at all. No, I like the fact that you were talking about the two. I apologize. The two that you said you're comfortable with that are the safest for us. Can you tell me their names again, please? It's very hard for me to see on my phone too, as we're
I think it was Loomis,
constantly.
Dodge and Cox, and Fidelity, where those were kind of.
Dodge and Cox. There you go. So I'll make a motion if I can, because I know you just asked a great question about can we use both of them. So, I mean, I think either one of them, it sounds like, would do the job for us. Let me just, I'm going to go with the I would say one of them. So can I just make a motion to go with Dodge and go from there?
Director,
Did I
there's a
say that
second.
right?
Yeah.
Dodge? Yeah.
If that's a motion for Dodge, I'm happy to second the motion.
It's a motion, yes.
And I'll just allow for some time for discussion amongst you, the group, and I see Director Trans hand raised.
It's my bad. It's should be lowered.
Okay, no worries. No worries.
Is
Is that
my hand
low?
lowered? Is
Did
mine
I? No,
lowered?
it's still up.
Both of you are no longer
Still
high.
up. Okay. My bad.
Just so
Okay,
you
there we
know.
go.
Does anyone else want to discuss? Because
I
it's
think
kind
so.
of, 6 to 1, half dozen to another, sort of on this one. I want to make sure the employees get an opportunity
I
to
like
weigh
that.
in.
Like that it's a different from Fidelity because I feel bloated
Yeah,
with their
yeah.
funds.
Initially, me looking at it, I thought Fidelity would probably be the one to go because it's cheapest, but I'm glad that Scott kind of chimed in to say that it's good to diversify with our different companies. So, seeing a motion and a second, and I think most of the discussion has been held. I'll call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Mesqua?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Nathan Dacus?
Yes.
Kevin O'Toole?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay, great. And seeing that time is of the essence, I will have this on the consent calendar agendized for the June 4th board meeting. Anything else on that? Are we good to go?
That's all I have. Thank you so much, everybody.
Hey, yeah, thank you, Scott. And there's no announcements on my end. Anyone else for announcement or report? Okay, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thanks, Scott. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate you putting this together.